The topic today is the law of action and reaction, or karma. That's my name, Dadaranjitananda. So in the physical realm, there is a law of physics that most of us know, and is action and reaction. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now, in the mental world, this action and reaction law is also applicable in a similar way. And we are going to see during this webinar how it is applicable and what happens. What is action? A definition of action: relative change of position or place of an object. So this object was here, and now it moved to here. So that is a change in position. Another example, suppose somebody is overweight, occupies a certain space. When the person loses weight, occupies less space. So that's a change, and that change is an action. So these are examples of actions. Every action depends on will. So no action is performed in the absence of will. Therefore, we can consider will the primary action. I will do something. I have the will to do something. I want to do something. Then I do. Some actions depend on individual will. Some actions depend on cosmic will. A human being will move according to his individual will or her individual will. The wind will blow according to cosmic will. The planets are moving according to cosmic will. And in fact, most of the actions that we think we are performing by our own will, in the end, they are guided by the cosmic will. There are different types of action. One is the original action, which I perform with my direct will. The other one is the reaction, which is later expressed by the indirect will. So the direct will is working during the original action, and the indirect will is working in the reaction. Now, the mind is in an original state, which is quite straight. When I do an action, it suffers a distortion. That's the action. And then it wants to go back. It wants to move back to its original action, and that's the reaction. So when we make an action, mind gets distorted. When we experience the reaction, the mind returns to the original state. Do we feel pleasure or pain when we get the reaction? It depends. It depends how the original action was. If with my original action I caused pain, then I will get pain. If I caused pleasure, then I will get pleasure. So, action and reaction depend on three factors. And the action will be equal to the reaction, or the reaction will be equal to the action if these three factors remain the same, which are those: time, place, and person. So if time and place and person are the same during the action, then the reaction will be the same. If one of the factors change, the reaction will change. We may pay interest. So the reaction is not automatically equal to the action. I'm going to introduce a concept here of samskara. Samskara is a reaction that has not yet happened. We have already done the action, but the reaction didn't happen yet. It's in potential form. It's waiting for the right place, for the right time to happen. So samskara is when the mind gets distorted by the action, and it is remaining distorted, waiting to go back to its original state. How do samskaras work? As an example, somebody commits a theft, steals something. That person enjoys that moment, is stealing something. Now, the action is done. The reaction will remain in seed form as a samskara. It will wait for the right time, right place, the congenial environment to express itself. How it can express? For example, that guy gets arrested, gets punished, gets humiliated. So that is the reaction. If a good action, I get a good reaction. Bad action, bad reaction. So it depends on what I have caused with my action. But both are bondage. I can be limited by my good actions because I'm going to get the reactions. I can be limited by my bad actions because I will get bad reactions. So in both cases, I'm in the cycle of action and reaction. So either I'm in a golden bondage or in an iron bondage, but both are bondages. Samskara, when I do an action, I get the samskara because of the feelings of pain or pleasure that are created due to my action in me and in others. So it's not automatically or that I do an action, for example, I break somebody's leg and the reaction will be that my leg will be broken. Not necessarily. What the reaction will be equivalent in the feeling of pain or pleasure that was caused by my action. So the reaction lies in potential form until the proper time and the proper place for it to express. As I mentioned in another slide, samskaras can be created by doing or by thinking. So we should be careful what we think. If we always think for the welfare of everyone, then we'll always be projecting welfare. And we'll not be creating bad samskaras. Plus, with a selfless thought, it helps me to not to create more samskaras. Another concept. desire. Action depends on our desire, what we want. First, I thought we have to have a will to do something. Then the desire is what is going to propel us in the direction of doing this or doing that. So according to the desire of one individual or another individual, they will do different things. Now, how does that desire originate? Imagine all the samskaras together. That will create a certain resultant. It means that will make the mind of that individual in a certain way, and therefore will be the origin of the desire. So I invented this formula that desire is the sum of all the samskaras. So desire takes one person to do one thing, takes another person to do something else. And what is the origin? The sum total of the samskaras, or reaction in potential form that are accumulated by that individual. So desire drives people. But the interesting thing is that people rarely attain what they desire. You desire something, you attain something else. What do you attain? You attain the result of your original action. Means, I have done a certain action. Now the reactions are there accumulated. So I get those. So not necessarily I will get my desire. Rarely one gets one's desire. So one strives for objects to satisfy oneself. But we know that objects will never satisfy us because they are limited. Human beings want something unlimited. We want more and we want more and we want more. We are never satisfied with just a little bit. And we avoid what we don't like. So that is the nature of human beings. So if we see something that we don't like, we may close our eyes. We don't want to hear bad news. But we cannot avoid it. It is not something we desired, but it's something we got because of previous action. So I don't want to hear bad news, but I get bad news. So why am I getting the bad news? Maybe because of my original action previously. Let's try to understand here. Desire, we can compare to a container, a vase. The water inside is the action, the original action. Original action in Sanskrit is called pratyaya mulaka karma. That's the original action. So that water takes the form of the container, of the vase, of the desire. So our original action, what form it takes? It takes the form of our desires. And our desires, how are they determined? They are determined by the bundle of samskaras. You know, it's like we are carrying this bundle of samskaras, and that determines the course of our life. The concept of bundle of samskaras or karmashaya, what is the general rule? It is that the samskaras of the previous life will ripen in this life and will get expressed in this life. So the bundle that we are going to express in this life is actually the bundle from the previous life. So that is the general rule. Exception to the rule happens when the individual goes through a state of unconsciousness. It could be fainting, disease, coma, or it could be the awakening of Kundalini. Kundalini, or spiritual energy. When one associates oneself with a great personality, starts a spiritual path, one may awaken the Kundalini, and that will also cause that the samskaras from this life may get expressed in this life itself. So it is the bundle of samskaras that one is carrying that determines that somebody is a saint or somebody is a thief. The bundle of samskaras of a saint will be very different from that of a thief. If a saint is going to be doing a bad action like robbing something, stealing something, they will not feel comfortable. But the thief will feel comfortable because that matches their bundle of samskaras. Tell a short story. There was one guy was a sheep thief. So he was stealing the sheep in the village. He got caught with his friend. Now, the villagers beat them up and wrote on their forehead two letters, S-T, sheep thief. One of them felt so ashamed that he left the village and disappeared. The other one decided to remain in the village. He changed his behavior. He decided to become good. And he started doing spiritual practices. And after some years, somebody passed and saw him there doing his meditation and saw the letters ST and asked the other one, "What is ST?" And the other guy said, "Oh, maybe it means saint." So by our will, we can change the bundle of samskaras and we can change our desires. Human beings want liberation. Means they want to be free. They don't want to be in bondage. If we are limited by something, we want to expand, remove that limitation. So this liberation is a process. We have to start the process. And what is the process? We can just compare it to removing the water from that vase of desire. It means we are going to remove the origin of our actions from desire. We are going to change what inspires our actions, not anymore desire, something else. If we do meditation, we go within, beyond these desires, beyond the bundle of samskaras. We want to take inspiration from the spiritual level, from spirituality. So that process is called spiritual practice or spiritual effort, or in Sanskrit, sadhana. We cannot be free from action, so we are always doing action. And by doing action, we are filling up with reactions our pot. We call it pot of desires. In Sanskrit, vasana bandha. So we are filling it up with so many reactions. So what we had to do, we have to empty it out with the process of meditation or sadhana or spiritual practice. And as we empty it out, we have also to avoid that it gets filled up again. We have to avoid to get new reactive momenta or samskaras. How do we avoid that? We avoid that through ideation. So when we do an action, we do it with a different ideation. I'm not going to think that I am doing the action, because if I do that, I will get the reaction. So what I do is I apply cosmic ideation to all my actions. I think that it's not the small I that is doing the action, but it's the cosmic I. In fact, everything is done by the cosmic consciousness. So we human beings don't really, really perform the action. The action is also cosmic consciousness. The objects involved in the action are also cosmic consciousness. So if I can create this kind of cosmic ideation in my mind, I will not fill up my pot or my vasana bandha with more samskaras, with more reactions. Samskaras are expressed through pain and pleasure. So I will have to experience either pain or pleasure as my samskaras get exhausted. So a good way, for example, if I'm doing some social service, helping people, I will undergo pains, I will undergo pleasure. I'll be doing good, something good, I'll be exhausting my samskaras. And the second part, I have to fill up my container, my pot, with a bundle of samskaras that is, in fact, I have to empty the pot from the bundle of samskaras. So I have to remove all those samskaras from the pot. And what I will put there, I will put consciousness. If I'm ideating in the cosmic consciousness, I'm filling up my pot with consciousness and not with more samskaras. How to fill this vasana bandha or this pot with consciousness? Through the practice of us. Some mistake here. Astanga yoga. It's a complete practice. It will help to empty the pot of the old samskaras, fill up the pot with consciousness. So that's what I want. And that is done through practice. Now, if one individual will die after finishing all the samskaras, then the mind gets liberated. Even if during life one finishes off all the samskaras, one also will attain liberation. And the individual, the unit consciousness, will merge in the cosmic consciousness and attain this state which we call moksha, or permanent liberation. Okay, that was a short presentation so that you can ask some questions. So you can type your questions, and if somebody would like to say the question, you can also raise your hand and I can unmute you and you will be able to speak. I have already one question, and the question is, what if unintentionally one will cause pain with our action? Well, intentionally or unintentionally, our actions will create reactions. And we'll be always acting, so we'll always be creating reactions. So that happens automatically. So the idea is, through spiritual practice, then we can escape this cycle of action and reaction. Another question. How does the cosmic will direct individual will? Well, when we want to do something, we are thinking what I should do. And according to the bundle of samskaras in my mind, it will give me some, desire, do this or do that. Okay? But I'm also involved in a whole environment. So some things I think that I'm doing, like I'm having a desire to go in a certain direction. So I'm thinking that all that is only by my will, but in the end is by the cosmic will, because the cosmic mind is also, the cosmic mind does two things. For example, when that mind is looking for a body to be born, the cosmic mind will direct that mind to a certain family, certain place, that will be the best situation for that mind to exhaust its samskaras. So that is done, the cosmic mind is guiding that mind. Now, in the world, also the cosmic mind is guiding that individual into the situations that will help that individual to exhaust its samskaras. So we think that I'm doing everything out of my own will, but behind is the cosmic mind directing it so that I will exhaust my samskaras. Okay, so let's see. Any other questions?